So the discussion of Tchias HaMeisim is an interesting one, and it's obviously a very esoteric discussion. And I'm going to stick to only topics that are found in Chazal that appear in the Gemara and Midrashim. No esoteric topics, no Zohars, no Kabbalahs. Everything that we find in the Gemara and the Rishonim. There are a number of sources that are brought for Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah. So I'll bring one of them. That's from Parshas Va'era. We're in the partial still of the Tzias Mitzrayim, Parshas Yisro this week, so we're still, Parshas Va'era still counts as one of the examples. So the pasuk says, "Vagam hakimosi es brisi itam." Hashem says, "I'm going to keep up the bris, laseis lahem, to give to them es eretz Kanan, es eretz megurim asher garba." I'm going to give them the land of Eretz Yisrael. Who's lahem? Who's them? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Perkachelik is where a lot of the discussions of Tchias HaMeisim and many other very interesting topics are found. It's a very large perek of Haggadah. The Gemara says, "Tani Rabbi Simai Omer." Minayin l'tchias ha-meisim min ha-Torah. What's the source of tchias ha-meisim? Says the Gemara, Shenemar v'gam ha-kimosi es brisi itam laseish lahem es eretz Kanan, our very pasuk we just quoted. Lachem lo nemar, it doesn't say I'm giving to you, who Akash Baruch is referring to, ela lahem, to them. Mikan l'tchias ha-meisim min ha-Torah. What was that? How is that the source? Who's lahem? Who's them? So says Rashi. Rashi fills in the gap. Dimashma shivtiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu lavoseinu Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe and Klal Yisrael that I'm giving to them. I'm going to give to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Sheitain lahem Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to give to them. They're the lahem. I'm going to give to them. V'chi lahem nitna. The Torah is going to be given to them. Halol levneim nitna. It's going to be given to their great-great-grandchildren, their descendants, not to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Ella says Rashi, Melamed she'osidin lachayos, in the future Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, among many others, are going to come back to life. V'osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu litein lahem es Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. They're the ones who are going to receive Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. That's one of the many sources of Tchias HaMeisim. Okay, so that being the case, now we could discuss Tchias HaMeisim. Very interesting questions. You guys asked me some interesting questions during Seder. Who are we going to come back? Are we going to come back as an older person, a younger person? What are we going to look like? Are we going to be wearing this, wearing that? A lot of open questions. We can only answer what the Gemara provides for us. Beyond that, I don't know. But it's a good, interesting discussion to explore this topic. So, first of all, who's going to get Tchias HaMeisim? Well, every one of us who are sitting in this room right now, will we get Tchias HaMeisim? So the Gemara in Tainus Daf Zayin Amud Aleph tells us the following. Very interesting discussion. I'm Rabbi Bahu. Gadol Yom HaGeshamim Tchias HaMeisim. The day that it rains is greater, more powerful, whatever that means, than the day of Tchias HaMeisim, which is somewhat shocking to us. You imagine Tchias HaMeisim is going to be the greatest day. We all come back to life in so much excitement. And the rain, no one other than there's just a guy in Yeshiva, Guy Slikowski, who used to love rainy days. I never understood it. He loves when it rained. Most people don't like when it rains. It's gloomy. Who wants to be outside? But the Gemara says the rainy days is greater than Tchias HaMeisim. Why? Because Tchias HaMeisim l'tzadikim. Only one group of people get Tchias HaMeisim. That's tzadikim. When it comes to Geshamim, bein l'tzadikim, bein l'rasham, everybody is zocha to, whether the farmers are tzadik, whether the farmers are rasha, all farmers are going to get Geshamim. They're all going to be affected by the rain, so it's more expansive. It's a greater day. Tchias HaMeisim is very, very limited. Only tzadikim are going to get Tchias HaMeisim. So that's why the Gemara says that day rains is greater than the day of Tchias HaMeisim. So which Rishaim are we talking about? Which Rishonim do not get Tchias HaMeisim? So Rashi tells us, number five, Rishay Ovdei Chochavim Einan Chayim. The lives of the Rishayim of the Goyim do not get. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya to prove his point, that Rishay Ovdei Chochavim, but what's the implication? That Rishayim of Yisrael do get. That means, I'm assuming everyone here is a tzaddik, but in case one of us are not, all of us here, according to Rashi, are going to get Tchias HaMeisim, according to this Rashi at least. Comes on the Bach. The Bach on the Gemara there in Tainus comments that there's a mistake in Rashi. The word should really read, the sentence should read, Rishayim Einan Chayim. He takes out the word Goyim. Rishayim in general, even Risha Yisrael, they will not get Tchias HaMeisim. So now that makes us a little bit scared right now. Where do we find ourselves? Are we Rishayim or are we Tzadikim? If we're Tzadikim, then we're good to go. If we're Rishayim, we should be very, very scared. So Rishayim do not get Tchias HaMeisim, according to the Bach. It's a big machlokas. So again, the Rashi thinks Rishayim of Yisrael do get Tchias HaMeisim. The Bach thinks Rishayim of Yisrael do not get Tchias HaMeisim. So in fact, this really is a machlokas in the Gemara in Chelek as well. The Gemara in Chelek quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, very famous Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Every single person has a Chelek in Olam Haba. Now there's a difference of Olam Haba versus Tchias HaMeisim. There's a very big discussion. The Rambam talks about the different theories of what's what. But right now we're talking about this discussion today is Tchias Mason. This Mishnah is talking about Olam Haba at this point. So every Yid gets Olam Haba, which is again different than Tchias Mason. Olam Haba is a place of the Neshamos. Tchias Mason is in Olam Haza, in this world where we come back to life. So it says the Mishnah, Shenemar va'amcha kulam tzadikim li'olam yirshu eretz neter mitei ma'isa yadeh lihispire. We're all going to get Olam Haba. V'elu, the following, very important, she'ein lehem chelek Olam Haba, the following do not get Olam Haba. Ha'omer ein tchias ha'mesim min ha'torah, someone who says tchias ha'mesim is not from ha'torah. V'ein Torah min ha'shemayim, they say Torah is not from Hashem. And apikoros, these are three individuals who will not get tchias ha'mesim. Sorry, will not get Olam Haba. Now, very important, this line here that I bolded, ha'omer ein tchias ha'mesim min ha'torah. So Rashi there, I didn't quote it, but Rashi writes, let's say you say, I believe Tchias HaMesim exists, but I just don't think there's a real source in the Torah. Now, we were discussing before Gilgulim, another interesting topic. Gilgulim is an interesting topic, but there's no source in the Torah that I'm familiar with. So if I say, you know, I agree there's Gilgulim, but there's no real source in it. So let's say I agree there's Tchias HaMesim, I believe in such a concept, but I don't think there's a real Torah, there's no source in it. That's the person that we're talking about. Such a person will not get Tchias HaMesim. He agrees to Tchias HaMesim. He agrees to it. He just doesn't think there's a source in it. No, you have to not only believe that Tchias HaMesim exists, you also have to believe that there's a source in the Torah for Tchias HaMesim. Now, which source? There are many, many different sources. But you have to at least agree to that concept, that Tchias HaMesim is somewhere, somehow, hinted at in the Torah. Okay, so what's Pshat in this Mishnah? So the Reb Bartanur writes as follows. Afilu Eilu Shenishaibu Misa Basin Bifnei Rishatan. A person who's Mechal Shabbos before Hesia. A person who gets Mises Bezdin, a person who kills, a person, whatever Aveira might be, even a Rasha who gets Chiyav Mises Bezdin, Yesh Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba, says Rabbi Bartanura. But aren't we talking about, isn't this Mishnah talking about Olam Haba, not Tchias HaMesim? Says Rabbi Bartanura, Olam Haba Ha'omer Kan, Hu Ha'olam Haba Achar Tchias HaMesim. We're referring to the two types of Olam Habas. There's Olam Haba in the Olam HaNeshamos, and there's Olam Haba in this world. The Olam Haba in this world, the afterlife in this world, is called Tchias HaMesim. So Rabbi Bartanur interprets this mission to be referring to as Tchias HaMesim. So he says, all Rishaim will get Tchias HaMesim. Only ones who do not get are the three listed in the Mishnah, but everyone else will get. A Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, a Rotseach, these people will get Tchias HaMesim. Just not one who denies Tchias HaMesim, one who denies Torahs from Shemaim, and one who's an Apikoros. Those are the only three who will not get it. But everyone else will get. Who does Rabbi Bartanur hold like? He holds like between Rashi and the Bach. Who does he hold like? Rashi, right? Mefurish. Rashi says so too. Only Rishaim of Ovdi Chochavim will not get Tchias HaMesim, but Rishaim of Yisrael they will get. So Rabbi Bartanur lines himself up with Rashi. Rambam says otherwise. Rambam says not true. Rambam thinks that he quotes a Medrash that Rishaim of even Yisrael, we won't read it inside. Even he thinks Rishay Yisrael will also not get Tchias HaMesim. He learns like the Bach. So big machlokas, who's going to get it and who's not going to get Tchias HaMesim. That's for starters. Now we're going to jump around to different topics relating to, not in any order necessarily, but different topics that relate to Tchias HaMesim. There's a terrible thing that's going on right now among non-frum families. It's called cremation. Cremation is something very popular among the secular world. It's a much cheaper way to get rid of a dead body. And unfortunately, it's becoming more popular in the non-frum world as well. The Jews who are conservative, reform, unaffiliated, they're doing cremation because it's much easier. It's cheaper. So cremation is that they're, in essence, getting rid of the body. They're burning the body, and wherever they put the ashes, they put the ashes. So there are a number of claims and arguments to tell them not to do this, to convince them otherwise. And a lot of the organizations, the Kvura burial organizations, are putting marketing and advertising to try to help raise money. If it's an issue of money, so let's collect money from the from people and help pay for the burials, if that's the issue. But there's also trying to give an argument that, listen, if you're going to burn the body of the mace, they're not going to get Tchias HaMesim. That's one of the arguments they throw out there. So I came across a sefer called Emunas HaTchia. It's a sefer that's written all about Tchias HaMesim. It's written by, I forgot the name of who, I don't have the sefer with me, but there's some very important, very chashiv haskamas on them. I think Rav Yitzchak Hachanan was one of them who wrote haskama on this. So he writes, based, it seemed like his own chiddush, he writes that even if a person gets burnt, and the ashes are spread throughout, still such a person will be zocher to tchias meisim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, along with the nes of bringing back to life, has the ability also to gather together all the ashes that were spread out. He could put them back into one and rebuild such a person. And he quotes a pasuk, and he makes a diakon leon. Did I quote the pasuk here? I didn't quote the whole pasuk. He quotes a pasuk that says, Yashne ba'afar yakitzu, that the people who are lying in the ground are going to come back to life. He makes a diak, something along the lines of, not the ones who are actually ba'afar, but the ones who are actually our offer, wherever they might be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to gather these ashes and dirt together and rebuild them. So again, I think this is his own chiddush, but this would go against that argument that even if a person does undergo this cremation, this burning process, tchias meisim still may exist for such a person. Now, not to say you shouldn't use such an argument. You could still use an argument, should still try to convince anybody to not do this. There are many other reasons why burial in the ground is very, very important. Now, next discussion is found in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Perek HaChelek, talks about a person who's a baal mum, a person who's missing a limb, maybe someone who's blind. So the Gemara says, number 11, Reish Lakish Rami. Reish Lakish threw, he had found the contradiction between two different psukim. One pasuk says, Ksiv, I think it should be Hasa maybe, or I say Iver, a person who's blind, or Piseach, a person who's missing a limb, Harava Yoldas Yachtav, will be born together, conceived and born together. Uksiv, then it says, V'az Yidale Ka'ail Piseach Vatran Lashin Ilim, Ki Nivku B'midbar Maim V'nechlam Barava. So it sounds like the people are, I'm not sure exactly how to interpret this pasuk, but it sounds like that the people are going to be reborn without any mumim, without any blemishes. Says the Gemara, how's that possible? Says the Gemara, ha-ketad omdin b'mumun u'misrapin. So a person who's, let's say, missing a limb, a leg, an arm, he's going to be reborn, recreated, with missing that limb, missing the arm, let's say, for example. And then after being brought back to life, that limb will grow back on him. That's what's going to happen. So everybody's going to be healed, but the healing process will not take place below ground. It's going to be above ground. After being recreated, says the Gemara, the limb will come back. The blindness, he'll be able to, his vision will come back. So what's pshat? What's the reason why? Yeah. It's just one big baal mum.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the question is that when's that going to happen though? Is the person going to come back to life as ashes first, and then he's going to be fixed together? But you're right. The same similar idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to fix everybody. Yeah. Your question? Oh. So what's pshat? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu make it in such a way? Why not just recreate, bring back to life the person as a whole body in the first place? Why is he bringing back first as a suma and then fixing him after that fact? So the Emunah Tchiyah, he weighs in and suggests the following reason. He says that perhaps it's to show a greater nes, which is trying to show a lot of nisim. You start seeing these zombies come back to life, starting to climb out of the ground. That itself is going to be a tremendous nes, of course. And just to add other nisim, this guy's arms are going to pop back on. It's going to grow out of his body. His vision is suddenly going to show up to him. These are additional nisim, just to show for the nisim of the times of Tchiyas Meisim. That's why he suggests it was done in this order, that first comes back to life the way he was, and then he's going to come back fixed. So maybe this might
have...
I can't imagine no one's going to appreciate it, seeing these zombies come to life.
They would see that, but like you should appreciate every little part of the place.
Very good, interesting.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to just
people
one.
Themselves, when they come back, if they come back missing these things and then it goes back, they would appreciate it too.
Very, very interesting. That could be true. This way, you see each stage: new nace 2, nace 3, nace 4. Could be. Very good. Now, this also might address your question. You're suggesting you want to know, what age do you come back? If you died at the age of 120, you're going to come back at 120, wrinkled skin, you know, you bent over with a little limp, or you come back as a strong 21-year-old. So I don't know, but maybe this is suggesting that you're going to come back at full. First, you'll come back the age you were when you died, and then, of course, Baruch is going to, like, shift things around, and you'll come back as a strong, you know, 21-year-old who had the ability to do anything in the world, invincible. I'm not sure. Maybe that's the same idea. Okay, now, the big question is, what are you going to be wearing when you come back to life? Now, what we bury the mason nowadays is called tachrichen. It's very thin, white clothing. Nothing so glamorous. And after many, many years, it ends up decomposing. It doesn't exist anymore. The truth is, it's nothing left than bone. So what do you come back wearing? Nothing? Correct.
Assuming that Mitzvah Mashiach would be like, it was because of that faith that Mashiach already came. So I'm assuming that.
Interesting. So you're suggesting that
Mashiach would be the ultimate tshuva of that faith. So we'd be able to get back to that.
Interesting, and to add further to that, very, very good, to add further, the Gemara in Sukkah says that Lasa Lava, we're going to Shech, not we, but somebody's going to Shech the Yetzirah. That means there's no Yetzirah, no Taiva anymore, which means the need for clothing might not be there anymore. As you said, we're going back to Kodem Chet HaRishon, so maybe you wouldn't need clothing. I didn't see anybody who says that. It seems from the Gemara that there will be clothing that we're going to wear. But the question is why? What's the need for that if we're going back to that point in time? It's a good question. I don't know. But assuming that there's going to be clothing that has to be worn, so the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We're starting Ksubas tomorrow with Daf Yomi. Anybody who's interested in joining, I know two people here are learning. Hopefully, you guys should stick to it. It's much easier Masechta than that of Yevamos to stick with. So anyone who went through Yevamos, Ksubas is going to be a breeze. So all the way at the end of Ksubas Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara says the following: Amar Bichia Bar Yosef, Asidin Tzadikim. In the future, the Tzadikim are going to be Mivat Pitzin. The Olim Yushalayim, they're going to sprout out from the ground like zombies, in the image of zombies we have in Yushalayim. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Yatzitzu Meir Ke'esiv Ha'aretz, they're going to go out to the city like grass grows from the ground. They're going to mamash sprout out, just shoot out of the ground. Ve'in Ir El Yushalayim, the city refers to Yushalayim. Shenema Ve'genosi El Ha'ir Azos. Says Rav Chiya Bar Yosef another point about Tchias HaMesim. Asidin tzadikim sheyamdu bimalbusheihem. The tzadikim. Now, interesting, he uses tzadikim. He doesn't say rishayim. Tzadikim, when they are zocha to tchias hamesim, they're going to be wearing their clothing. How does he know they're wearing clothing? Kal v'chomer mechita. Machita shenikbara aruma achita. Piece achita. You know how achita looks? You ever see a kernel of wheat? I had a whole bag of kernels of wheat in my house. My brother-in-law and I went cutting wheat last year. For Pesach, for matzahs this year. We went last June, we cut wheat, we went through the whole process. I had a big bag of kernels of wheat in my house. We went to grind it, and last Sunday my brother-in-law went to make matzahs with him, and it didn't work out very well. We apparently messed up somewhere along the way. In the grinding process, I don't think we ground it the proper way, and he tried making the matzahs in the matzah factory. They were very wet, and they just weren't baking it to throw them out. It was a fun activity. So a kernel of wheat looks like kernels of corn. So you have these kernels of corn, which are basically naked. It's shelled from the outside. So what happens is you place it in the ground. So machita shenikbara aruma, you bury it. You put it in the ground naked, if you will. Yotibakala levushin, when it grows out, it's so many layers of coverings when it's grown into these stalks of wheat. So if that's the case, by chita, which is buried aruma, tzadikim shenikbara bilvusheim, a tzadik who's buried in clothing, we bury the mason clothing. So alachas kamakama, is it not obvious that they certainly should come back to life wearing clothing, just like a chita comes back to life, if you will, wearing clothing? So that's a Gemara. There's going to be clothing against what Eli suggested. I'm not sure why. It's a good question, Taka. But they will be wearing clothing. But which clothing would they be wearing? Would they be wearing the clothing they were buried in, which at that point probably is going to be mamish decomposed? Or they're going to somehow wear their fancy suit they used to wear when they were alive, or are they going to go back to the times where they wore in Moshe Rabbeinu's time? What kind of clothing are they going to be wearing? A nice long suit? Who knows what? So the Ran writes, first the Tosas writes, Mashma, the implication of this Gemara is that Bilvushehen shenikbru dehainu tachrichen. Which clothing will they be wearing when they come back to life? The clothing that they were buried in. They're buried in a white kittel or a talus. They're going to come back to life wearing that clothing. Aval b'Yushalmi says Tosos. The Yushalmi says differently. Dehanose, Amar Rebbe Livanov. Rebbe says to his children, Me'atu b'tachrichin. I want you to minimize how much you put on me. She'asidin tzadikim she'amdu bilvu shehen. So, because the tzadikim are going to wear their own clothing, the clothing that they used to wear. So he says to his children, don't put so much time and effort into finding me nice tachrichim, because those tachrichim are going to be gone, lost level. I'm going to be wearing the nice fancy suit that I used to wear when I used to go to shul. Shenema Mashma, from here, Tosa says, Ma'atu b'tachrichim, put on little tachrichim, ela bilvushein mechayim. They're going to be wearing the clothing that he used to wear when he's alive. So machlok is badly versus the Yushalmi. Will the mace come back to life wearing the clothing he's buried in? Or will he be wearing the clothing that he used to wear during his lifetime? That's the machlokas. Now, very interesting Ran. The Ran found the end of Moed Katan. Moed Katan talks about, the third parak talks about a velus. All the sugyas of Avelis are found at the end of Moed Katam. Talks about burial and stuff. So the Ran writes at the end there, number 15, that just go to the last line of the Ran. He says, Mikan Shmainan Dehaose Tachrichin Lemes. Somebody who makes tachrichin, and I'll add nice tachrichin. There are people in the Chevra Kadisha who I know that they're very machbid when preparing the tachrichin for the mace, very machbid that there should not be even a speck of dirt on the tachrichin. It has to be shining, clean, completely clean. And if it gets dirty, he'll throw it out or clean it very, very well. He will not leave a dirty tachrichin on the mace. And that's not very easy to accomplish because there's a big cleansing process that needs to take place for cleaning the mace. So says the Ran, people who make nice tachrichim lemeis, machriz al atzmo, he's announcing on himself, shumodir b'tchias meisim. By you being so careful, you could just say, just put a mace and bury him. But if you're very careful about making a nice tachrichim, that's a testimony of yours, that you think tchias meisim is true and it's going to happen, and that's why I'm making this guy look so fancy and presentable, so that when he comes back to life, he'll be wearing proper clothing. Okay, another discussion comes up about the mitzvos la'as lava. When tchias meisim happens, which mitzvos, if any, will still be applicable b'shas tchias meisim? So the Gemara Nidar says the following, number 16. Beged she'ovad b'klaim, a piece of a shirt, let's say, that a piece of shatnez gets lost within it. You can't find that strand. So what should you do with this piece of clothing? The shatnez in it. Hareza lo yim karenu lo v'tchachavim, you can't sell it to a goy. Nor can you make it as a saddle for a donkey, because if you sit on this as a saddle for a donkey, you're getting some warmth and you're getting hana from it, and that's aser by shatnez. But what you can do, says the Gemara, aval osu mimenu tachrichin lemeis, you could use it to bury a mason. Why? Because a mason doesn't have any mitzvahs to do. Says Rav Yosef, Zosa Maris, this comes to tell us that mitzvahs betelos losu lavo. So shouldn't we be concerned, though? Okay, when he's dead, there's no mitzvahs. But isn't he going to come back to life? So it means when he comes back to life, he's going to wear shatnez clothing. And first thing he's going to do when he gets back to life is violating an isser of shatnez. So it says of Yosef, it must be that when the mace comes back to life, there's no mitzvahs. That's why we are allowed to bury a mace wearing shatnez. That's all according to Rav Yosef. But Amalei Abaye says, and others say it's Rav Dima, but doesn't Rav Yanai say, lo shanu ela lesafto? You're only allowed to dress the mace in shatnez during the eulogy, during the hesped. Of al kavra, also you can't bury the mace in the shatnez clothing. So, but doesn't Gemara say even doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say afil lekoro you can bury it? So it ends up being a machlokas whether or not there's going to be mitzvos la'asa lavo. Some opinions think that there will not be any mitzvos, and that's why you may bury a mace in the shatnez. And others think that there will be mitzvos, and therefore you cannot bury a mace in a shatnez because that means when he's going to wake up, he's going to be violating isser of wearing shatnez. That's a big machlokas, the Gemara Nida. Okay. So we could skip the that Tosos. Go to the Mordechai, the next page now. Mordechai, the second half of that Mordechai, where it starts, Mihu B'Medjish, he talks about a very interesting concept. I'll say it outside. He talks about the idea of putting a talus on a mace, bearing it in a talus, and wearing tittus. So there's a big discussion whether or not can you have a talus around the mace, because on one hand, it's making fun of him. It's loig l'rush, the Gemara Brachos tells us. You cannot walk into a base kfaros with your tzitzis out, at least according to the Shir Kalacha, because you're making fun of the mace. I'm wearing tzitzis, I'm being Mekai Mitzvahs, and you're making fun of them. So you have to tuck your tzitzis in if you go through a base kfaros. So how could it be? How could you bury a mace in a talus in tzitzis? He's not being Mekai Mitzvahs. It's basically in his face, you know, shaking the tzitzis in his face and making fun that you can't be Mekai Mitzvos. So what are you supposed to do? So it's a big machlokas about how to put a talus on the mace, but to passel it in such a way where it's not roy for wearing. So if it's not roy for wearing, you're not making fun of him. It's like putting a cloth in him. You put a three-cornered garment in the kever with him, you can't make fun because there's no mitzvah. It's not roy for tzitzis. So let's go through the Shulchan Aruch. Let's jump to 19. Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Aveilus. Hilchos Aveilus is the last set of halachas that's found in Yerodea. Yerodea is the chelik of Shulchan Aruch, one of the four halakim. It's the one that talks about Isser V'Heter. The last section of halachos of Yerodea is Hilchos Aveilus. So says the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Nud Aleph Sif Beis, Ein Kovrin Es HaMeis Ela B'Tal She'esh Bo Tzitzis. He paskins that you're supposed to adorn the mace in a talus with kosher tzitzis. So v'yeshom, but others say the Ramah adds the ain tzarch tzitzis, you don't need tzitzis. V'nagu l'kabur b'tzitzis. However, our custom is to bury with tzitzis. Ach sheposin tchila hatzitzis akorchen echem me'akanfos. But in order to avoid the issue of loig l'rush, making fun, we either cut off one of the corners so it's only a three-begged garment and it only has three corners and three tzitzis, which is why the need, or you somehow turn the corner away and tuck one corner in, you sew it, not really sure how that is, but you somehow postle it without cutting it. Shach writes, number 20, this is the custom, I believe. Habach kasev, de'ein leposlen ele yesh lekoshen zemzeh, you're supposed to tie them together. So take two of the corners, tie them together in a knot, and by tying them in a knot, that's going to postle the tzitzis. So it's not making fun of him, because it's a pasul tzitzis, like burying with anything else. You could bury a piece of cloth with the mace. So burying a pasul tzitzis is not going to be making fun of him. Okay, the question is, why? Why bury the talus in the first place? What's the need for all this? So the pshat is, because when they come back to life, the first thing they're doing is wearing a talus. So it says the shach, if you cut off the talus, you're not helping him out at all. He gets up, and he's wearing a pasul talus. It was a three-corner garment. It doesn't help him at all. But if you say the eitzah should be tied two of the corners together. So he wakes up, he comes, he crawls out of the ground, he takes the two corners that are tied, unties him, and right there, he has a kosher talus. He's wearing the first mitzvah he's mekayim. This is a mitzvah talus.
You say that everything that the
mace
gets buried in decomposes.
Very good. So, as we said before also, that he's going to be wearing clothing. So which clothing?
Right, but so you could say that he'd come out of the ground wearing a talus, but that doesn't mean that he has to be put in with a talus.
Right. So if you assume like the Bavli seems to indicate that whatever you're buried in is what he's going to be wearing when he comes back, even though those clothing might lemaisa be decomposed, but those are going to be what he's going to wear. They're going to come back to life also, those clothing, and he's going to be wearing them. That's... Well, how else do you understand the Gemara? The Gemara says he's going to be wearing clothing. So if the clothing, as we know, are all decomposed, so what's going to happen to the clothing? It has to be that they're going to also somehow come back to life. No one actually says that, but there's no other way to explain it, I don't think. Okay. Now, the Emunah Tzachiyah has another chiddush. Why is it important that he wears clothing when he comes back? So I suggested he wears clothing. So this way, the first thing he does is puts on the talus and he's mekayem the mitzvah of tzitzis. Says the Emunah Tzachiyah, know the reason why? Because when he comes up, you know the first thing he's going to do? He's going to say a bracha. He's going to say a bracha to Hashem on being modeh hoda sherech hoda, on bringing him back to life and seeing the tremendous nisim, all his like friends in the Beis Kfaros just coming out of the ground. You can imagine the scene. Hundreds of thousands and millions and billions of people coming to life. He's going to give tremendous hodah. So to give hodah, you have to be wearing proper clothing. You have to be dressed properly. It says in Emunah Tzachiyah, you have to be properly dressed with a talis and tzitzis and suit and everything in order to say this bracha that we're ultimately going to say. We have such a concept. The Gemara Sanhedrin talks about when the mason come back to life, you're supposed to sing a shira. Such a concept exists in the Gemara as well in Sanhedrin daf tzadi beis umed beis. Okay, let's talk about two more things. I know it's getting a little bit late. You guys want to go back and avoid the traffic, but I think we get these two last inyan a minute. What happens to the mesim of Chutz La'aretz? We all have heard before that's a big, big inyan to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It's a big inyan. What's the inyan? Why? What's the relevance? The Gemara in Ksubas, again, Kufyud Aleph and Aleph, tells us that Rebbe Lazar held that tzadikim shebechutz La'aretz ein mechayim. A tzaddik who's buried in Chutz La'aretz, they're not considered alive. Now, normally we assume a tzaddik is considered alive even after death. Why, says the Gemara? Because all the sugis, all the shirim, all the halachas that you quote in his name, his lips move around in the kever. He's always considered alive. But if he's buried in Chutz La'aretz, says the Gemara, his life is not considered alive. So what does that mean? Amar Rabbi Elai, al yidei Gilgul. He's going to come back to life through a Gilgul, not the Gilgulim as we mentioned before of Gilgul and Shamas, but rather through tunneling and tumbling through. There's going to be these tunnels, as we'll see. Gemara says that there's these tunnels that he's going to tumble through to get to Eretz Yisrael. Gemara says, what do you mean? How could it be? Maskula Rabbi Abba, Sala Rabba, Gilgul at Tzadikim Tsarhu. The Gilgul, this tumbling, is going to be a tremendous tsar for the Tzadikim. We're going to put the Tzadikim through this tsar. Says Abaye, this is a Gemara, remember. This is not a Chazal, it's not a Zohar, it's a Gemara. Abaye says, Mechilos Nasos Lahem Bekarka. There are going to be these little tunnels underneath all the base kvaros, which are going to send us to Eretz Yisrael, and going to tumble our way through till we pop out in Yerushalayim, or in Eretz Yisrael summit. So Rashi explains, in Ksubas there, Mechilas Nasim LeBakarka. It's not going to be tumbling over. Rather, Omdim Al Raglim, they're going to stand up in the tunnels. V'holchim B'Mechilas Ad Eretz Yisrael, V'sham Mibasim V'yotzim. So the image, imagine these zombies. They're going to wake up in the kever, and then these tunnels are going to start sprouting out underneath the ground. And it's not going to be, you know, 2 feet high, we have to crawl and tumble. It's going to be a full 6-7 feet high. And they're going to walk their way through. Now it's going to be, take quite a trip to get there, unless it's Kvitz Zederach, but it's going to take several weeks, if not months, to get there, to start from America at least. But they're going to start walking in the tunnels. The tunnels are going to go below the Atlantic Ocean, and we're going to walk through the tunnel and, you know, come up and jump out of the ground when you get there to Israel. This is the image that Gemara and Rashi telling us, is describing to us. The Medrash tells us that they're actually going to be tumbling over. He thinks they're going to tumble through the tunnels. So big machlok is how that's actually going to happen. I imagine the tumbling's going to be a little quicker, but a little bit dizzier. The walking's going to be a little slower, but a little bit more comfortable. So that's the different machlokas and how these things are going to happen. There's another machlokas. Are we going to pop out in Eretz Yisrael as we enter the border, or will not be until we get to Yerushalayim? No, pop out Yerushalayim. That's another machlokas. Now the final thing, I'm not going to read through, but the final thing talks about there really seem to be in the Rishonim two stages of Tchiyas HaMeisim. There's an initial stage of Tchiyas HaMeisim. The Ritva talks about this, the Ramban talks about this, and many of the Sfarim talk about this. There's two different Tchiyas HaMeisim. So let's read to the Ritva. We'll finish with the Ritva here. The Ritva in Rosh Hashanah tells us, he quotes a pasuk, Shneamar, V'rabim miyishani admas afar. That which the Gemara says, V'rabim miyashne v'lo amar v'yashini admas afar, it says most of them, Rabim, many of those sleeping in the ground. It doesn't say all of them. Why only most of them? Afapim shekulam vada yikitsu lehem chayin lehin leonesh, even though everybody's going to come back to life. Every tzaddik, every rosh is going to come back. Some are going to come back to get reward. Others are going to come back to onesh. So they're going to first be a first stage of tchiyas HaMeisim, where only the tzaddikim, the gedolei hador, the neviim, the avos, they're going to come back to life, and they're going to enjoy a tchiyas HaMeisim of guf, neshama, whatever that means exactly. But then there's going to be another one later on that is going to include everybody. It doesn't elaborate that much, but just be aware that in the Rishonim, there seems to be two stages of Tchiyas HaMeisim, one for the Tzaddikim, and one later on for both Tzaddikim and for the Shaim. So from my research on Tchiyas HaMeisim, this is all I found within at least the mainstream works, within the Gemaras, within the Rishonim. Hopefully that'll be interesting food for thought for this concept that I hope we all believe of Tchiyas HaMeisim, to be Zocha to the Yasu level. Okay, Shkoyach, guys.